Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What's up, nerds? This is Just a Couple of Arslings, the Last Kingdom podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica Toomer.
And I'm Alyssa Fixie. We are writers for Sci-Fi Wire's Fangirls who started recapping The Last Kingdom in Season 3, so we decided to bring that nerdy, horny energy to Podcastlandia. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning,
it's a beautiful
Alyssa.
Day.
Is it?
This just whole vibe feels weird, though, because I feel like we usually end up recording in the evening, and now it's like first thing in the morning, and it's just, it's a whole different animal.
Yeah, you're getting to see like a brand new side of us. Mm. I am not a morning person.
Me either.
So you're welcome to that. Yeah, it's strange for sure. Okay, but this is what I feel like this really connects to like what we're gonna like just chat about before we get into the episode, because so I'm not a morning person. But I'm finding it like harder and harder to go to sleep at like a normal time in the evenings because it gets so dark.
I know.
Like it's like at 3 o'clock, the sun is just like peace. Like I'm done for the day.
I know.
It's like, so I just want to go to sleep so early. Like I have no desire to do anything.
I don't understand why this is such a shock to me every single year. Like this has happened every year for my lifetime. So like I should know that it'll feel like. Like 11 at 7 around this time of year, but like it shocks me every single winter because yeah, I never learn.
It's very jarring.
Yeah.
Like, I think like once we get into winter, like it kind of becomes
you adjust
like, okay,
again.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But right, this whole like kind of transition period is just like, what the fuck is going on with the world? And then I think of like people that live, you know, where it's like 24/7 sunlight or 24/7 darkness.
Can't
sometimes.
Do it.
Like,
could not do it.
Jesus. But yeah, that gets us to kind of what we're going to like chat about today, because it is winter is coming and it's
that phrase
dark
is ruined. And, like it's ruined now.
God, I know. Ugh. It's not one of our comfort shows, Game of Thrones, but we're going to talk about like just like comforting entertainment that everyone, you know, that you guys love, that we love, like just shows that you can like watch over and over, especially when you're like needing a bit of like, you need like a warm hug, and these like entertainment shows and these films like do it for you. So Alyssa, like what's something like you like always go to?
Well, I usually around fall, I used to be a very much like a Gilmore Girls girl in the fall, but after the revival, I kind of struggled with it because Rory is so awful and it's hard for me. So I haven't revisited that, but another show that I definitely sort of whenever I need a pick me up or like you said, like a warm hug of a show, I usually reach for Pushing Daisies. Which is just one of my all-time faves.
Good.
So good. If you haven't watched it, go watch Pushing Daisies. It's wonderful. It's about a pie maker who has the ability to raise the dead. And while that sounds creepy, it's very not creepy. It's
maybe
really
a little.
Maybe a little bit, but
the
like
premise
it's,
is,
the premise but is dark, but the show is not. So that's one that I find myself like reaching towards. And then, I love a good sitcom like Parks and Recreation or Schitt's Creek has been like a rather new, I say rather new within the year. It's been one that I've like really fallen in love with. So that's been added to the roster. And then if we're talking movies, I feel like ones that I rewatch a lot are like Wayne's World and The Princess Bride. So those are movies,
love.
Like if I'm having a bad day, I'll put those on and like I'll feel a lot better.
The Princess Bride is just like so iconic, so classic. It's hilarious. It's got romance. Ugh.
It's all you could want in a movie.
Don't ever redo The Princess Bride.
I saw on Twitter that there was like whispers about that a while back, and God, like, what a mistake. What a mistake that would be.
Well, like, I think Carrie and Robin both were like, no.
No.
Like,
don't do
you're
that.
You're not doing it.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm like 100% agree. Princess Bride is like such a great rewatch because like you catch like so many jokes. I don't know. It's just so fun. Mm-hmm. I think Schitt's Creek for me is like the best like comfort watch.
Yeah. That
and Office.
Oh, I think, yeah.
Because there's humor and especially with Office, there's like tons of episodes. I want something that I like. It's like short and like bingeable, but it's like I can keep watching. You know what I mean? Like. I don't want too much drama. I don't want, like, you know, Netflix to be like, are you still watching? I just want to keep
And you're like, yes, I am.
It.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Don't fucking judge my choices. Sure, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I've already watched, like, you know, 5 hours of this. But I think, like, if we're talking movies, like, it's pretty much, like, any kind of, like, Jane Austen adaptation.
Oh, my God, me too.
Pride and Prejudice. Like, yes. But the Keira Knightley version.
I like them both. I like them both. Actually, did you see on Twitter how there was, like, a war over which Darcy was the best?
Yeah, and I'm not going to go there, okay? Like, that's, I think, why are we, like, causing friction for no reason?
Right.
Like, they're both
all fantastic. Darcys are great Darcys. Like, I love them both for different reasons. Hello.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm not going to wade into that one. But I feel like whichever Pride and Prejudice you like best.
I also really love Emma Thompson's Sense and Sensibility. I think that might be my favorite.
So
that might be my very favorite Jane Austen adaptation because I think it's better than the book, which is rare. But I really think her screenplay is so good that it kind of punches up a book that is a little dry at times.
Yeah, true. I really enjoy Emma, which is like, it's been on Hulu right now. So
it's
been,
so
like, just
good.
Re-watching.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy because like it's Gwyneth Paltrow, who's fine, but
like, I like her in that movie.
Not,
I think
not
she's
a fan
great
of her
in
goop
that
shit now.
Well, yeah.
but she's fantastic in that movie.
Yeah,
and it's
she's
just
really
so
good.
And Toni Collette is in it. Ugh.
I feel like we may have talked about this movie before, but like
we've talked about this.
It deserves a second mention. It's a great movie.
Yeah. So like, you know, basic white girl shit over here.
Listen,
but it's
fine.
So aren't we all basic white girls sometimes?
At our
like,
core.
Inside.
Right. From time to time. Anyway, I feel like we're about to do a real tonal shift from Jane Austen to whatever the fuck is going on The Last Kingdom in this episode.
Jesus,
it's
so
a doozy.
Much.
So episode 4 of the 3rd season begins with a fight, which is great. I love a good fight.
Love it.
Love it when they make the
I told
square.
You, I wanted bloodshed. And what did they give us? They gave us
kind of, well, they kind of gave you bloodshed, but I feel like it was kind of like a hint, and then they ripped it away before there was a good bloodletting. But
yeah, it's like they knew, like, okay, this is what they want, but like we can't really get rid of this blood hair character just yet because he's gonna like do some things,
right?
So yeah, needed to
keep him around. But yeah, so Uhtred and Bloodhair make the square to face off for Skade, and it is a dirty fight. Like, Bloodhair is cheating and his men are helping. And after a while, Finan is like, all right, screw it. If they're not going to fight fair, I'm not going to fight fair. So he starts helping Uhtred a bit. It's a messy one, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, one, it's just such a bad look that these, like, two dudes are, like, you know, fighting to the death for this chick that's been
so petty.
To, like, one too many Coachellas.
Ugh,
know?
Yes.
And then these, like, they're, I don't know. It really bugged me because it's like, I know that, like, I'm not saying, like, the Danes are, like, you know, peak nobility and honor, but I feel like when you make the square, that's like,
there are rules.
There's rules to this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't appreciate the cheating. I hated that.
Yeah.
And I loved when Finan was like, you know what? Fuck this.
Yeah.
I'm going to go headbutt this dude, get my bro sword back for him. Like, oh, God. And, like, and through all of this, Brita is over here. like, just being Bloodhair's, like, total cheerleader. Like,
I know.
Shouting at the top of her lungs, like, kill him. Like, you know, talking about Uhtred. And I'm just like, what the F happened?
I mean, Breeda is loyal to a point, but the second you cross her, you are dead to her. So yeah. The fact that Uhtred is, like, sticking by Æthelflaed instead of remaining with them, like, she wants him dead now. But yeah, like, it's a real messy fight, and then Uhtred gets the upper hand, and when he's about to kill Bloodhair, and Bloodhair's, like, ready to die, like, he grabs his sword, he's gonna accept his punishment, Ragnar puts an end to it, because he, quote-unquote, doesn't want to lose a man before the fight.
It's over.
No, it's not over until he's dead.
I say it is over.
I demand my woman.
I will not lose one single man before the true battle has even begun. It is over. It is done. Take what belongs to you.
So I just, you know, I kind of question what he was doing there. Like, I don't know if he wanted to, like, take that victory away from Uhtred, or if he really cared whether or not Bloodhair died or what. But Ragnar was all up in his feelings, and he took it out on the fight.
Whew. Yeah, I think... I don't know if he would have done the same if Uhtred had been, like, the one on the ground, like, ready to kind of go to Valhalla. I think Ragnar's, like, smart enough to realize that Bloodhair has got men. He's got some, like, value. Like, sure. He needs to keep him around. But I feel like most of it is probably influenced by the fact that, like, he didn't want to see Uhtred win. Like, he's pissed off at him.
Yeah.
He's just disowned him. So... yeah, I think it was kind of, like, twofold. It's so insulting, like, you have to think, as a Dane, to, like, have, like, you know, survived this, like, square in this battle, and someone else takes your kill from you. That's, like, the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
As a, like, Viking warrior. So, I think it's a bit petty. And they send, you know, they send Uhtred and the crew off, like... Breeda, again, just going overboard with this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, throws a spear at Uhtred's head. I'm just like,
I missed on purpose. I won't miss next time. Like, he gets it. You're super mad and dead to him. Like,
yeah.
He gets it.
We've established he is nothing to you.
Right.
Like, it's a lot.
It is a lot.
The anger and, like, they have the sense that they've been betrayed by him. And so that's, you know, of course, how you react as a Viking, I guess. You throw spears at people. So they leave. And, yeah, Ragnar is still, like, just so angry about Uhtred, you know, choosing to go save Æthelflaed and choosing to not march with him. That he does something that I was a fan.
Yeah. Æthelwald basically panics when he sees that Uhtred is leaving, because he really counted on him being on their side and not on the side of Wessex. And even though, you know, he said that he's going to go and help Æthelflaed, you know, it's having Uhtred on their side was a real boon, whether it was just to piss off their enemies or, you know, to dishearten the men, because he'd been with Saxons for so long. So to have him leave was a problem for Æthelwald. So he freaks out and Ragnar beats the shit out of him. And it's very satisfying. I did not hate that happen.
Well, okay, here's the thing. If you wanted Uhtred to stay, maybe you shouldn't have opened up your bitch mouth and just started talking, you know, crap at the dinner table.
Maybe.
And, you know, all of this could have been avoided. You know, I feel like Æthelwald gets a little, I think, here's the problem with Æthelwald. He's a very good schemer, but he gets a little too comfortable. Like, when a scheme starts, like, playing out the way he wants it to, when a plan of his is working, he gets a little too confident. Like, he gets a little too comfortable, and he has forgotten that, sure, like, he's, like, put these events in motion, but you are not the one in power here.
Right.
Like, and whether you get on that throne or not, like, these Danes are always going to be able to, like, hand you your ass and kill you whenever you want. And I think Æthelwald kind of, like, comes to that realization with this beatdown. That he's, you know, he's useful to a point, and that point is, like, you know, he sees the point on the horizon where he's not going to be useful to these people, and they have no loyalty or love for him, so, you know, it's going to be easy to, like, put him in the ground if they need, and so,
well, but at the same time,
shit beat out of him.
Right, but at the same time, I feel like for someone who's so good at manipulating, he's also very good at being manipulated. Like, it does not take Knut very much at all to be like, hey, man, you're going to die soon. Ragnar's going to kill you. You should do something about that. Like, I feel like he should have seen that Canute was just getting him to sort of, like, do his dirty work at this point.
Well, yeah, but I also feel like that dirty work, like, is beneficial to Ethelwald. Like, if it wasn't, if it was something that I think pushed Ethelwald to do something that wasn't in his best interest, I feel like maybe he would have been a little bit smarter about it. But, like, this, I mean, this guy just, like, beat the shit out of him. He probably, I mean, it seemed, I think, in Ethelwald's point of view, it probably seems like, okay, like, is anytime this guy, like, pissed off, is he gonna, like, come for me? You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
it doesn't matter to Ethelwald who leads the Danes as long as they are led, you know, to Wessex so he can get that throne.
Yeah.
So I feel like if Canute is over here, you know, offering an olive branch and saying, you know, I agree with you, he shouldn't have let Uhtred go, it's like, okay, well, maybe this guy's, like, better to deal with because he's a little bit more reasonable, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like it all, like, works in Ethelwald's favor, and so it's easier for him to kind of listen to Canute, who is just the worst and has already started. I mean, Ragnar hasn't, like, you know, been king of this army for, like, 5 minutes before he starts kind of undermining him.
Cousin, you are our leader now.
I am hungry for blood and battle! Nothing has changed. We've lost a handful of men and nothing more than that.
He kind of aligns himself with Ethelwald and is like, that was weak of my cousin to let Uhtred go, because, you know, this guy has a real, like, stick up his ass about Uhtred anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, Ragnar is kind of, I think he's, he doesn't suspect that someone that close to him could betray him.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because you're pretty pissed off at Uhtred because you see that as a betrayal. So,
right.
I would be suspecting everyone at this point.
Yeah, like, yeah.
My boy Ragnar.
I think Ragnar is really distracted at this point by a lot of things, and that kind of makes him vulnerable. Uhtred rides off, and I really liked that little moment when Beaka and Tira are like, all right, we gotta go this way, you guys gotta go that way to Athelflaed. And Tira, you know, really reiterates to him that, you know, you are my brother and you always will be. I thought that was such a nice little contrast between her and Ragnar. Like, she wasn't gonna let Uhtred, you know, think that he was completely without family, and that was a lovely little moment.
Yeah, look, Tira's been through it, like, way more than any of these men will, like, ever understand.
Yeah.
So, like, all of this, like, petty, like, oh, you're not gonna, like, fight with me, bro? Like, that's, like, not for her. Like, she knows the importance of family and of, like, that familial bond.
Mm-hmm.
And Uhtred, at the end of the day, it took him a while, but Uhtred came for her. And I think that is what matters the most to her. And so, yeah, it was really sweet and lovely to see that at least one Ragnarsson is still, like, on board with Uhtred.
Yeah.
As he goes off to save Ethelflaed. And so, Beaka and Tira are heading back to Winchester.
Which is where
Heston is, our favorite.
You know, it's so crazy to me that just because he pretended to, like, do the religious switch, that Alfred and Athelswith trust him so implicitly. Like, he's never given them a reason to, like, trust him that much. Like, yeah, he's brought them information and stuff like that, but he hasn't really earned this level of trust. And then to compare that with Uhtred, who didn't pretend to become a Christian, and, you know, they hold him so accountable for that, it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating to me how differently they treat Heston and how they treat Uhtred, when Heston has done nothing to deserve it and Uhtred has done everything to deserve their reverence. You know what I mean?
That is true.
Thank you, Heston. Your loyalty to our agreement will not go unrewarded.
Thank you, Lord. Lady.
Yeah, it's so idiotic, and that's, like, that's the most frustrating part. It's, like, it makes no, like, rational, like, logical sense, and I see Alfred as a dude that's, like, so, like, rational. Logical, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, that's, he's just so smart about everything. So to be so stupid about this one thing, it's like, it really makes me lose any respect for you and even for your religion. Because it's like, dude, like, your beliefs are just blinding you
right.
to some very, like, real threats that surround you. And Heston is such a threat. It's crazy to think that this dude who, like... Last season, I was like, oh, man, this guy, I can't wait till he dies, has become, like, such, like, a major player in this.
Yeah.
But he's been able to, like, you know, kind of have a foot in both camps. And
sure.
So he's up at Dunholm, you know, kind of partying with the dudes and saying, sure, I'll follow you, Ragnar. And then he comes down to Winchester and tells Alfred everything that's happening at Dunholm, tells him that Ethelwald's there, Uhtred's there, they're, you know, starting this great army, they're marching. And he's just, like, playing both sides, like, the snake that he is. I think, for him, I mean, I don't see the end goal other than getting Ethelfled. Like, I'm not really sure what he wants other than Ethelfled.
Yeah, it's... I think he ultimately is trying to create chaos to benefit the Danes. But yeah, his main focus is getting Ethelfled, killing Ethelfled, and getting his revenge for Siegfried and Eric.
Yeah, so after Heston, you know, kind of has a beer, bros it out with Alfred, Alfred writes to Ethelred to join his army with Mercia so that they can fight the Danes. It's, you know, we've been here 1,000 times, guys.
Yeah.
It never ends.
Right.
And Uhtred heads to the nunnery, which is where our sweet little Ethelfled has been. These cute, you know, nuns and the abbess have been, like, feeding her men who are just, like, the worst guards.
You know, I said nice things about them last week because I was so pleased that they were so willing to follow Ethelfled. But, not last week, last episode. But they are just, like, getting wasted, eating these nuns out of house and home, and not particularly good at the whole guarding thing. So I don't know what their point is. I was very unimpressed. But yeah, so she's hiding out at this abbey in Winchelcombe, and Uhtred shows up. It's very cute. I don't know. I like their whole vibe together. It's like, you know, it's nice. And yeah,
it's a little humor, like because it's like, oh, Danes are in the kitchen, all of these, like, sweet, you know, godly women are, like, freaking out, they push the dinner table against the door, and the abbess, like, poor thing, is just like, oh, if you're a Christian, like, you're gonna go to hell for this, like,
right, and then Uhtred, like, is, like, crouching like a gargoyle in the corner of the room. It's great. It's so good.
Yeah, it's a good little moment. And and it's so nice to, like, see, you just see, like, Ethelfled's relief.
Yeah.
She knew that Uhtred was going to come for her, but it's just like, ugh.
There's still that feeling of, like, maybe.
And yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so they make it to, you know, where Ethelfled is, and it's all fun and games for a bit.
The abbess does not like Uhtred. It's very funny.
I do not like him. I like her even less.
Nor are you, hag.
Look, she doesn't like Uhtred. She reads, you know, Skade, like,
to filth. It's so good.
And the guys are soups hungry. And you know what? They're eating them out of their winter store, and that is not okay.
It's not okay.
Like, I get that you've come to save Ethelfled, but, like, have some fucking respect. These women have to live through winter.
Right. Don't eat all of their food, please. but yeah, while they're hanging out at the abbey, we get another look back at the Danish camp, and, like, okay, we need to talk about Ragnar's priorities in this episode, because they are not good. Like, he is talking with Canute about, you know, what they need to do, and they need to send out riders ahead. And Canute is like, so are we going to tell Bloodhair the plan? He's like, you are. And then he goes off to Bona Random, which is just passing off important jobs like that to go and quote unquote get another son is just, it's not good. It's not good leadership. He's got his eyes off the prize. And I just, you know, he says it's all about sons, but like those looks that he's giving these women, like that's not, I want to put a son in you. It's, I have a, you know, a boner and I want you to fix it.
Good God. Yeah. I feel like, it's so weird to me, this whole kind of, subplot, like between Ragnar and Brita and Canute and this kind of love triangle that happens, because like Ragnar and Brita are just so good together, and we've seen like how strong they are together.
Mm-hmm.
And for all, like, I know it's been years, I know we've had a time jump, but it's just weird, like, yeah, that he's so concerned. We're in the middle of battle. Like, we're about to go to war.
Right.
Like, you have an entire Dane army at your back. That's never happened before.
Right.
And your thought is, gotta go bang this like, woman, you know? Like, it's weird.
It is
weird.
It doesn't
make any sense to me logically. And I don't know if it's, like, the more I think about it, the more I'm, like, I don't know if it's, like, you know, his whole family, like, died, like, in an instant. So maybe that, like, fear of, like, the Ragnarsson line not living on, like, mm-hmm. follows him. And especially in moments like this where it's, like, we're about to go to war. I need to make sure, like, just yeah. one more son, you know. But it's, like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're not there to, one, if you're not there to raise him, who the fuck cares? Like, they'll have the name and that's it. You know what I mean? It's, like, you became what you are because your dad was there to, like, raise you.
Right.
And two, it's, like, you have such a strong woman in Brita, like, how could you do this to her?
And she just takes it, and I hate that she feels like she has to do that, you know? Like, she just mm-hmm. he's constantly humiliating her, and it sucks, and it makes me so mad. And yeah, it's a bad look for Ragnar, and, you know, Canute sort of takes those seeds of dissension and really starts to sow them with blood hair, and it's like, all right, like, I'm here, I'm ready to fight, where's Ragnar? Off in his tent. And so, you know, he's losing control of this really tenuous group. And yeah, they want to grow their armies together and force out Ragnar. And Ragnar's, you know, too busy to notice that.
Ugh, Ragnar, like, come on. Quit letting us down like this.
I know. I know. But yeah, we also have this lovely little moment of Uhtred and Athelflaed in the stables.
The real danger you will face is from the Danes. They're marching as we speak. The great army. Hestin is with them. He has not forgotten you. And I cannot protect you forever. I will not fight against the Danes. Alfred must protect you now.
You are here. And I am glad of it.
Like, I...
Hey, horse girl! Here's some content for you.
I just, like, I like, whether it turns romantic or what, I like the vibe that Uhtred and Athelflaed have together. Like, mm-hmm. she's really the only one who ever really gives him the respect that he deserves. And it's the same for her, too. Like, she's, you know, her father was, like, whatever, and her husband was awful. And, you know, Uhtred sees her as a valuable person, and she sees Uhtred as a valuable person. So I think that that mutual respect is such a rare thing for both of them that it's wonderful to see.
It's a turn on.
I like it.
It's a complete turn on. Yeah, I don't know, like, what's going to happen with them in the future. I mean, like, it feels like maybe they're setting that up, which I would not be mad at all.
Right.
Because I think Uhtred will need, like, a strong woman. He'll need someone as strong as Gisla was to, like, stand up to him. And I think Athelflaed is that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd have a completely different relationship. But still, I feel like he needs someone that's, like, pretty sure of themselves. And Athelflaed is.
He needs a partner.
He needs a partner. And so, and you see that when they have this interaction, like, she kind of takes control of it. She's the one to kiss him. She is the one who's like, you know, what's going on with you and this, like, weird chick, you know, with the dreads?
Gay's
like,
bad news. Never trust a white girl with dreads. Get rid of her.
Like, come on, man. Are you boning this thing? Gross. Like,
yeah,
it's funny. But there's, like, real concern there, you know, like, there's a bond there that they share. And yeah, it's like such a beautiful moment. And then of course, you know, Skade comes to come in and ruin everything.
Yeah, yeah. She comes in, she speaks in the third person. I'm so sick of her. She kisses Uhtred. God. Uhtred is just like, in the span of a couple of minutes, he's like getting it from all sides. So Uhtred has some decisions to make, I think. But yeah, Skade, I just, you know, all props this actress for just really making me hate her, but I really hate her. I'm like, which is what you want in a villain, but I'm ready for her to go.
Dude, she, like, homegirl is, like, a broken record, man. It's all, like, I curse you. Come lie with me. If you won't, I'm gonna curse you again. Like,
but we haven't, Jesus! And it's so weird, because we haven't really seen any indication that she's as powerful as she claims she is. Like, yeah,
what can she do?
Right. Like, yeah, there was the little thing where Uhtred got sick, but that was because he had an uncleaned wound. You know what I mean? Like, there are explanations for this that I don't understand why she holds such power over these men. Because we haven't seen, maybe, you know, there was stuff that happened with Bloodhair before the show, you know, before the season started, but we haven't been given any real proof that she's as powerful and as valuable as she says she is on the show. And that is really frustrating to me.
Yeah, like, I haven't even seen any, like, practical magic level witchcraft from this woman.
Right!
Like, there's been nothing, you know what I mean? It's just weird. I think, again, it goes back to that thing of belief and, like, there's, if you believe something has power over you, it does. You know what I mean? Whether that's, like, true or not, like, your belief in it makes it so. And so, yeah, she's, like, kind of trying to get in with Uhtred any way she can. He's, like, kind of feeling it, kind of not. Like, he's not pushing her away, but he's also, like, wiping the taste of her off his mouth when she leaves.
Right.
Yeah, it's so gross, guys. Like, this is not, I hope that they didn't think, like, these were, like, the thirsty moments to, like, carry us through, because
I'm just not, I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Uhtred's dealing with that, and then we go back to Wessex, and oh my God, Edward is just, he's such a child. Like, he's so, like, easily manipulated. He's so, just so wishy-washy. Like, he's all, I went to the church, and I prayed, and I still want to marry this girl. And then everybody's like, actually, that girl's gone to a nunnery, a lie. And they basically just manipulated him into agreeing to, like, marry who they want. They're like, you know what? If you don't marry this girl, then the Danes are going to win. Your children will be slaves and your girlfriend will be a Viking whore. So it's just, he's such a child. And this whole interaction where he's taken in by his parents and just used as a pawn so ultimately willingly that it's just, it doesn't bode well for Wessex, I think, with Edward being so green.
Yeah, it's very strange, too, because it's like, you know, this is the kid that, like, it has been groomed to take Alfred's place. So you would think, I know that, like, Aelsworth is like, boys will be boys, like, he's the apple of my eye.
Yeah.
But you would think Alfred would be a little bit more strict with him and would have kind of imparted a bit more wisdom and, like, really helped to shape him to be a leader. And it feels like Edward has gotten all of the bad traits of Alfred, which is, like, basically his, like, horn dogging, and none of the kind of, you know, ability to think ahead and to think long term and to think bigger picture and, like, that want to do that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what, Alfred, like, what have you been doing? Because it's not, like, been parenting, like, well, you know, I think poor Edward has maybe, like, fallen to the wayside with all of the other things that Alfred has been thinking of when it comes to, like, uniting England. And now we're realizing that, hey, like, maybe we should have done a better job with this kid.
Well, and, you know, Alfred is, you know, I feel like in every new episode he looks sicker and older, and he's, you know, he's
those eyes, like, sink, I know, more into the skull.
I know, they do such a good job of, like, making him lose vibrancy, like, emotional vampire. But yeah, so like this Lord Athelhelm, another Athel to keep track of.
God.
Such a dickhead, rocks up to Winchester and is like, "Hey, I'm here." And they're like, "Actually, the castle's under repair, so you're going to stay at the alehouse," which does not go over well, but Alfred really does not want to be seen as sickly for anyone, especially not someone he's trying to make this important alliance with. So, yeah, it's messy.
Yeah, it's better to insult them and send them to an alehouse than to see him, like, part ways with his breakfast every morning, I guess.
Right.
And Evelham is a key player. Like, he's a dick, but he's got money, he's got men.
Right.
They want to make this alliance, they want to marry their kids off. So that they have even more kind of power to face the Danes with. So we've got to put up with you know, his level of assholery while he's here. And while all of this is going on, you know, the Saxons are kind of getting ready. So are the Danes. Mm. And specifically, Canute and Ethelwald, they're kind of alliance is growing. Ethelwald is, you know, shit in his pants because he just thinks, you know, Ragnar's going to kill him any day. Canute keeps telling
him. Right. He keeps telling him, all right, he's going to kill you soon. And with such glee, like, I mean, Athelwald sucks and I hate him, but I would also probably start to be feeling it a little bit, little pressure. But yeah, and, you know, it's a mess. But yeah, Canute.
It's a mess.
It's just this whole episode, everybody is so messy.
It's so messy, and it's also, like, if we talk about how the episode is, like, edited, it's very back and forth. Like, we're in Winchester, then we're with the Danes, then we're with Ethelflaed, then we're back to the Danes, then we're in Winchester. It's, like, it's so chaotic.
Yeah.
And I feel like that adds to it, because we never, like, stick with anyone too long, so
right.
We can't, like, get settled. And, yeah, there's a very, like, unsettling feeling of watching, like, things go to shit in each of these camps.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we get, like, that quick, you know, little check-in in Mercia where Aldhelm, you know, advises Athelred to join Alfred, and he's not happy about that, but they agree that it's the only way to preserve Mercia. And Athelred is all, you know, with luck, the right people shall die in battle. And I'm like, man, just, like...
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah. Dude. Hopefully one of them's you. But you're right. You're 100% correct on the feeling of chaos. You know, we go back to the nunnery where Athelflaed is hiding, and Heston shows up with his men, and they are looking for Athelflaed and Athelflaed alone.
If it is ourselves you want, our lives, I ask you, why?
Athelflaed! Athelflaed, Athelflaed, Athelflaed. How many times do I have to say that stupid name? What I want is Athelflaed!
They kill her guards, they kill the abbess. Like, she goes out, you know, Uhtred...
Oh, she puts up such a good fight.
She puts up such a good fight, and I was a little frustrated that Uhtred basically sent her out as bait, though.
Well, look, she said she didn't like him, so he's got, like, no qualms.
That's true. It's true.
No love lost.
But they, you know, he hides his men in the, you know, in the nunnery so they can kind of get a jump on Heston. The abbess goes out to, you know, scream curses at him. It's pretty great. And then they spear her through the belly, and that is a lot less great. But yeah, like, Heston is so single-minded in what he wants. He wants revenge. He wants, you know, he wants to kill Athelflaed. And it really, it's a lot. And so, you know, eventually Uhtred and his men go out. They kill a few of, or actually, no, not, they don't go out at this point. Heston's men come into the abbey and they kill a bunch of them. And it's, you know, it's a good fight. And... but it doesn't quite go as well as Uhtred would have wanted to, and they get sort of trapped in the nunnery. Like, the Danes, they block all the doors except for the front one, and then they post up at the front door to kind of wait them out. But yeah, it's not a great position to be in. Everybody's afraid they're going to set it on fire. Uhtred is like, no, he wants Athelflaed. He's not going to kill us all right now, but we need to come up with a plan.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? This whole, like, siege would have been a little less intimidating if the dudes hadn't eaten through the winter store.
Right.
Like, again.
Right. These nuns were just minding their own business, and you come and eat them out of house and home and get the abbess killed. Like, Jesus.
And now you're under siege by these Danes. Like, yeah. Nothing has gone right. Yeah, so Hessen is so extra.
So extra.
He's not completely stupid. He knows that he just has to wait him out. And Uhtred knows that, too. Like, eventually they're going to have to make some kind of agreement, and it's not up for discussion that Ethelflaed is going to be handed over. Right. So the next big thing is to hand over another pretty girl.
Bye, Skade.
Which happens to see Skade, and I'm totally fine with that. Normally, I would not be okay with, like,
interchangeable women.
So, like, blase. Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't be okay with that. But for Skade, this is fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Uhtred, his moment with Skade where he's like, all right, I need to use you as a bargaining chip, but I promise I'll come save you. You know, it's a testament to, you know, Uhtred's kindness, I think, in that he's, you know, nice to her at all. But also, like, I don't like it that I feel like he's, you know, kind of playing into what Skate's all about. You know, like, ugh. He's like, if you let me trade you, I'll save you, and then I'll fuck you. And I'm just like, ugh, Uhtred, be better than this.
Yuck on a duck, Uhtred. So gross. I mean, like, why? I don't like it. It's like, at that point, I would be like, oh, okay, here's my chance to get rid of this girl, you know?
I know. But again, he still believes in that curse, though. Like, that's the thing. And so he agrees, you know, she agrees, but she's like, but also I'm going to curse you until you come and save me again. So your life is not your own.
Curses.
So many curses. Oh, my God.
Who knew you could cast so many curses on one person?
A lot.
It seems like
a lot of curses. Like, if you were so good at curses, wouldn't one just do the trick? But, you know, yeah, whatever.
I mean.
But, yeah.
I'm no, like, curse expert.
Right. I mean, I've watched a lot of Buffy, but I still don't know how to throw them myself. But yeah, so Skade's gone, Hessen's gone, you know, they're free to go. Cedric is all spooky about it, and he's like, this is bad, this is not good, that, like, he's cursed. Poor again. Poor Cedric.
Cedric, like, doesn't say much, so when he does say something,
I'm always like, oh, all right, hello, Cedric. Oh,
but also I'm like, so he tells Uhtred, he's like, your life is not your own.
Yeah.
And it's like, so this is what he's been thinking the whole time. I just feel like he stews in his anxiety and doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
And I connect with that so much.
Yeah.
That would be me. Like, you know, Finnan's over here, like, just mouthing off at every opportunity. I feel like Cedric is, like, the quiet, like, introspective
brooder.
One.
Yes.
Who's like, yeah, he's got all of these, like, worries that he just bottles up. But
and
they
then
have
when
to
they
come out
when
sometime.
They come out, you're like, oh, yikes, dude.
God. It's dark in there in that mind of yours.
Right. Right. But yeah, it isn't good right now because Athelwald kind of gets drunk, gets his courage, and when Ragnar is off, you know, getting it on with yet another random girl.
I was thinking that perhaps I should kill him first.
How would you kill him?
When he's asleep, of course. I'm not going to fight him.
When?
Soon. Sooner than he kills me.
Tonight.
Tonight?
Athelwald kills him. He stabs the girl. He stabs Ragnar. He dies without a sword in his bed.
Bad.
It's so bloody. It's so awful. And then he kind of, like, assembles the room like a crime scene so it looks like the girl killed Ragnar and then herself. And it's just, ugh. It's so awful. And, you know, I feel like they kind of wanted to make us mad at Ragnar so it hurt a little less that he died. Because, you know, all this stuff with the women is just, it feels so out of left field. They're like, all right, we're going to kill him off, but we're going to make it a little bit easier on you because you're going to be super mad at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, I mean, I appreciate the gesture.
Sure.
Because I'm not, like, beside myself. Like, when Leia First Shadow was like, oh, this is the worst, you know. Like, Ragnar dying is the worst thing to ever happen on this show. And yet, I am still a little annoyed with him. Because it's like,
right.
if you had had Brita in your bed, you know what I mean? If you had been
focused
on the prize.
She would have killed Athelwald,
yeah,
right.
Exactly. So it's like, yeah, there is that bit of resentment that still lingers, even after this terrible death that he has. And Ethelwald is just such an asshole about it, and he doesn't, like...
He's such a coward about it, too. Coward.
Doesn't let him have his sword. Oh, that is, like... It's like adding insult to injury to be killed in your bed by someone like Ethelwald when you're a Viking warrior.
Right. Especially when you're Ragnar. Like, mm-hmm. This isn't just any random Viking warrior. It's Ragnar, son of Earl Ragnar. He deserved a warrior's death, and he didn't get one.
Yeah, it's pretty painful. And so that's kind of where we end. And, oh, God. It's...
I know.
Poor Brita. I mean, the show... just puts her through the ringer, and
Brita deserves more all the time. That should be the tagline of this show. Yeah. Just a couple of Arslings, the Last Kingdom podcast. Brita deserves better.
She deserves everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, guys. So now it's time for our next episode wishes. This is when we issue our demands for upcoming episodes like the spoiled toddlers that we are. Here's what we want to see, when we want to see it, and why we won't be denied. Alyssa, you want to go first?
Yeah, so basically, there are too many assholes running around right now, and I would like to see a couple of them dead.
As Dwight would say.
To quote The Office, we need a new plague. I mean, honestly, it's like, take your pick. You know, you've got Hessen, you've got Skade, you've got Canute, Athelwald, Athelred. Everybody sucks. There are too many assholes, and I'm ready for somebody to get their comeuppance. I need it. And I'm really ready for war to actually come. Like, there's been so much talk about it, and I appreciate seeing all the lead up, but like the last couple of episodes, there's been a lot of talking and not a lot of stabbing, and I'm ready for that confrontation to come between Alfred and the Danes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I'm having trouble envisioning a future without Ragnar, so the only thing I really wish for is a fiery, torturous death for Canute and Bloodhair, and especially Ethelwald.
Yep.
You know, stick spikes in the dude's eyes, cut out his tongue, feed him his own genitals. I don't care.
Dark.
Just make it painful and nightmarish. This is what The Last Kingdom does to you. It makes you think of ways that you could kill your enemies, like, the worst ways possible. So whatever way any one of you are thinking, yeah, that's the way he should go. And
right, do it.
It's what he deserves. And yeah, I agree. I want to see some action. I feel like we've been scheming a lot, and the scheming is getting on my nerves. So let's just bang it out. Like,
fight. Come on.
Stick some swords into some bellies. Like, let's just do it.
The Last Kingdom has a massive cast of interesting characters, and nearly everyone gets their time to shine. Our Arsling of the episode is the character who truly goes above and beyond to win the war or simply win our hearts. Who is your Arsling this time around?
All right, pour one out for the Abbess.
We had her for such a brief time, but I loved her so much.
She made an impression. She's a strong woman. She did not like our boy Uhtred. She didn't like Skade, which I was totally behind with that. And she skewered Hesten and his savage ways and cursed him with, you know, all of her Christian power. And I wouldn't have liked her normally, but I really liked how she went out and the fact that she's like, this is my house. This is my responsibility. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to step up and like take care of these people. Like, I just really respected that and appreciated that. And you have to stand a woman, you know, with the courage to face down 40 ugly Danes in just her habit and a cross. Like, that's she was, boss.
She was tough. I loved her. I'm actually going to go with Uhtred this week, or this episode. You know, it's been a while since he's been my arsling, I think. But I feel like he deserves a little bit of credit in this episode. Like, he handles himself with honor after such a devastating blow of breaking with Ragnar. You know what I mean? Like, he's dealing with it, and he's still, you know, putting his men first, putting Æthelflaed first, and, like, really being a leader. And honestly, part of me kind of thinks that he's kind of relishing being a man without an affiliation. You know, like, this could be a wrong read, but, like, not being beholden to either side has got to be kind of a nice break.
Like, when's you know? The last time we saw him without an oath sworn? You know what I mean?
Like episode 3 of the first season, maybe.
My God.
Like,
yeah.
He kind of just gets to be his own man right now. And while, like, obviously he's going to have to pick a side, he's kind of a free agent. And you know what? After all that angst over which side he's going to choose, he deserves a little bit of a break.
Look, I can tell you, I think we both can relate to this, you know, as someone who once worked a 9-to-5 and now I freelance all the time. There is, you know, a lawless kind of freedom in not, like, having to follow the rules, like, of any one person. Like, when you're...
Uhtred is a freelancer now. He's going to make his own hours and be his own boss.
You know what? There's no health care, but there are naps.
Right. There you go, Uhtred.
All right, guys. Get ready to shame none the worst character of the episode with us. It doesn't matter if you're a Saxon or a Dane. Anyone can be a turd, and we're calling out the biggest one of the episode. So, Alyssa, I mean, I shouldn't have to ask, but...
It's Æthelwald.
We know who
you
it
know,
is.
You know, we hate him. It's Æthelwald. You know, he really, like, he fancies himself such a master manipulator, but he really takes the cowardly way out with Ragnar. You know, like, he's so, you know... Canute puts him up to it pretty easily, and he's, you know, next thing you know it, he's stabbing him when he's vulnerable, and that's just, it's unforgivable. But I also kind of want to say the writers of this episode are turds, because, spoiler alert, Ragnar does not die like this in the books. He lived to be an old man. He was not dying sad and horny at the hand of Æthelwald, and so I want to know why they made this choice, because why would you get rid of Ragnar when you didn't have to get rid of Ragnar?
We demand answers, or we will give riot us answers, in please. The
So yeah, it's Æthelwald by technicality.
Okay, but like also writers like figure why? Shit out.
Why?
We love you, but God damn it. yeah, I think, you know, it's a toss-up for me. I think Heston carried the title for most of this episode. Like,
understandable.
You know, holding a group of nuns hostage and sacrificing your men for your own petty revenge, like, against a woman, not a good look. But I think Æthelwald's kind of, like, cowardly killing of Ragnar is probably the worst thing I've ever seen on this show, and...
That's probably right. Like, we've seen a lot of bad stuff, but, like, that was a brutal death for a beloved character at the hands of a coward. So that just makes it extra worse.
Yeah, it's like three strikes. It's, like, hitting every nail. Like, it's pretty awful. And despite, you know, his whoring and his kind of inability to focus on the task at hand.
He's still Ragnar.
I wouldn't wish that kind of death at Æthelwald's hands on my worst enemy. Like,
right.
I
not wish someone you actually like. Right.
Yeah. So, as you said, so many assholes. And that, like, really pisses me off about the books. Like, I'm upset now.
Yeah. He didn't have to die like that.
You know what? This is why I don't read the books. Because I get so much more emotional upset than I already am.
Yeah. Now, this is clearly a very serious podcast about a very serious show, but sometimes it's nice to indulge in a little thirst. It's 2019, the world is on fire, and honestly, we deserve this. So this is our time to celebrate the thirstiest moments that really blew our skirts up this episode. I'm still feeling a little parched.
Oh my God, I'm so parched after this episode. You know, I enjoyed Æthelflaed and Uhtred's kind of, like, you know, horse stable hookup. it was brief, but I think it hints at things to come, which is, like, yeah, nice and,
I love a slow burn.
Something to look forward to, I guess.
Right.
I think also there's something about Uhtred kind of sitting up on a rafter, teasing, like, a bunch of nuns that's, like, oddly appealing.
Very it's cute. Like,
we all love a bad boy, and Uhtred was throwing off major bad boy vibes this episode, so I'm down for that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Like, now that he's a man without an army, like, Uhtred is really, you know, putting out those devil may care vibes. And I'm super into it. And like you said, like, I really do like the romantic tension that's kind of building with Uhtred and Æthelflaed, though. You know, they're not really rushing into it because, you know, Gisela's body is barely cold. Mm. But their vibe, it feels really believable, especially, like, compared to, like, the forced, you know, faux sexiness of Uhtred and Skade. I don't know. I think it could be an interesting romance because, like, they've both already had and lost their true love. You know, like, she had Eric, he had Gisela. So they've had that big, you know, seismic relationship for them. Mm-hmm. But I think that sort of brings an emotional wisdom to this. And so, I don't know. I think they could be really good for each other in that they've been around the block before. They're not expecting, you know, they're not expecting, like, butterflies in the stomach and fireworks wherever you go. Like, they're looking for something that feels safe and mm-hmm. feels like a partnership. And so, I don't know, I'm into it. So it's more romance than thirst this episode, but, like, I like how they're laying the foundation for it.
Look, I'll take what I can get.
Yeah.
God, after what happened to Ragnar, like, any little thing helps.
Any nice thing is welcome.
All right, guys, I think it's safe to say that we've never been accused of being unenthusiastic in our fandom. We know our friends, our family, and now you are devoted listeners. Welcome to Geek Out, where we will offer up our humble suggestions about what we think you should be watching and reading. Alyssa, what are you geeking out over?
Okay, I just watched Daniel Sloss's HBO special. Have you seen it?
I have not. Is it good?
Okay.
It's well, it's in your so geek good. Out, so it better be.
It's so good. It's so good. Have you seen his Netflix specials?
No.
Okay, you gotta look up Daniel Sloss. He's okay. A Scottish comedian, and he's so good. Like, he basically, in this one, his new one for HBO, it's called X, and he talks about, he, like, makes a joke, and he's like, all right, so basically when you come to one of my comedy shows, you're gonna get 75 minutes of comedy, and it's gonna be very funny, but also you're gonna have to sit through 15 minutes of an intense TED Talk. Ooh. Because at the end of every one, he talks about something serious in a way that, like, I don't know, like, his first Netflix special, Dark, he talks about how his sister had cerebral palsy and she died when he was 8. So he really grapples with death. Mm. And then in the next one, Jigsaw, he talks about how it's one where he's sort of had, like, this moment of pride where he's like, so many couples have broken up after watching my Netflix special. And when it was, like, on a tour, because basically he talks about, you know, don't try and force a relationship just to have one. It's okay to not have one. And then in the new one, which I honestly think might be the best one yet, the one that he just did for HBO, it just came out this week. Like, it's so funny. Like, he's so funny. He does a really good job of setting up a joke. But he sort of takes on rape culture at the end of this one. Mm. And he does it in such a way that, like, it's so good. And I haven't really seen a man talk about it like that in a way that sort of challenges his fellow men to be better. But yeah, it's, I feel like I haven't done a good job of, like, expressing how, like, goddamn funny it is.
No, he is.
You but have, yeah, a Scottish go comedian. Watch. Yeah, he's so good. Go watch his HBO special. Go watch his Netflix specials. Daniel Sloss, he's amazing.
Also, I have to say, I looked up like who he is, and he's really pretty, guys. So, like, go, like, look at him too.
But he has a lot of really good things to say.
Yeah, he's pretty and he's funny.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, go watch it. Oh, okay. So, yeah. So
I
smart.
Love
so
a good,
good
comedy special, Rex. So that's great. So mine is going to be...
I'm so excited about this, okay. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay, good. the trailer for Vanessa Hudgens' new Christmas movie on Netflix, The Night Before
yes.
Christmas, came out yesterday.
Time-traveling nights! Oh my God. So okay. good.
So, like...
Listen.
I'm sorry.
Listen,
I can't even be mad about this without, like laughing at myself.
I would watch a Vanessa Hudgens Netflix movie every day of my life. Like, I loved the princess one that she was in.
Oh, my God. It was so
dumb, but I was like, this is perfect. And also the idea that... The baking one. Yes, it was so bad, but it was everything I want in everything. A cheesy Netflix movie. And they're making another one where there's going to be a third Vanessa Hudgens lookalike, which is just insane. Yeah. I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
But yeah, I also saw this trailer. It was wild.
The gist is like, it's like Kate and Leopold. It's like this knight like comes back. He time travels. He's like stuck in modern times and she has to help him like figure it out, you know. So, you know, we've seen this before. It looks so cheesy and awful, and it's also everything you want.
Exactly. It's everything. You know what? We talked about comfort movies and television. Cheesy Netflix movies, 100% the mashed potatoes of film. Like, I just want to eat a bowl of
it. Pour that gravy on.
Exactly. So, yeah. It's going to be so bad, but so good.
Here's the thing about these movies, and, you know, other movies, not just, like, Netflix, like, holiday movies, but there are movies.
No. Like the Hallmark genre of romance.
I'm not, like, such a cinema snob that, like, I can't appreciate a movie that's, like, it's not meant to be good. It's not very good.
But it's meant to make you feel.
Yeah, it's meant to make you feel. It's meant to be just enjoyable. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, not all movies have to, like, have this, like, intense message or these, like, amazing, like, you know, little bits that you find out later or, like, have to, you know, have method actors in them or something. Like, sometimes it can just be silly and fun and you can like that. And
right.
These movies are.
Right. I'm a big believer in that a movie doesn't have to be, like, capital I important to be worth watching.
Exactly.
Sometimes you just need a little fluff, and this looks like it's going to be high-quality fluff.
Oh, my God, guys. It's going to be so fucking good. I cannot wait for this. I love Christmas movies. Ah! Okay, me too. Yeah.
All right, guys, if you want to hear more of our bullshitting, check us out on Twitter or over at Sci-Fi Wire Fangirls. We've got links to everything below this episode.
And until next time, Destiny is all bitches.